Talking with TD.
Touchdown Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you tuning in. Man, we got to look back on this draft. So we'll have a very good opportunity to do that and run TMC with Chris Sanders. Man, we got Jeremy Holt of Athlete Performance coming. He's a guy, local guy, you know, trains a lot of the tight ends, corners, DBs, receivers, everything, man. He's done a lot. So looking forward to talking shop with Jay Holt. In the meantime, we got some things to discuss regarding Cam Ward, and we'll do that, man. The future is here. The torch has been passed. So we'll bring in a guy who played a little quarterback in his day, and that's Parker Kelly.
Just
what's
a little
going
bit.
On? A little, you know, a little something.
I always enjoyed the draft. It's like Christmas Day for me. But I'm kind of excited it's over because now we can just talk about the prospects,
yeah.
and the work has already been done. So
Yeah. Talk about the guys that are almost here in the building. So I guess I'll start it with this. Let me ask you. Okay, so it turns out it was pick 3, pick 33, a first next year, a second next year, in exchange for pick 1. What are your thoughts? What would you have done if I put that platter in front of you?
It's certainly enticing, but it's like what Mike Borgonzi said. There's no price that you can pay for a franchise quarterback. And if they believe Cam Ward is the franchise quarterback, I mean, they already said that he was the number one overall prospect on their draft board. If you believe he's the franchise guy, and after listening to, you know, his intro press conference, the interviews that he's been doing, it's hard not to like the guy. So if you believe he's the franchise quarterback, then I completely understand turning down the Giants offer.
Right, exactly. And Brian Callahan kind of echoed that, or actually he kicked it off when he said at the league meetings about, you know, if a guy's a franchise quarterback, there isn't a price you could put on him. You have to make the move. Big deal that was offered them. I say this, though, Parker, because, all right, let's say they do take the package, okay? This is an organization that needs a quarterback. We've established that. Number one on their board. And remember, folks, boards are relative to your team. Right? Whereas Cam Ward is going to have more value to the Titans than he will to the Kansas City Chiefs. You have to look at that and understand that. And I know people say, oh, well, duh, that's obvious. It's not obvious as far as in the grand scheme of things, the way a lot of people look at the best player available concept. But I'll say this. Let's say you're in position to get the guy, right? And you don't get the guy and you take the package. And next year, you know, will you be in position to get the guy? A, will the trade that you get, you know, will that put you in position, or will you play poor enough to be in position? But what if you're not and you got to trade up to get? Now you're trading up to get in that position, and then what happens is you are spinning back to where you are now where you're like, I hope this guy is the guy. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So it just confuses me why that is the desired outcome for so many.
Yeah, and you see what the Jags gave up all to get Travis Hunter. And Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, Brian Callahan, their philosophy is draft, develop, retain, get as many draft picks within the top 100 as possible. And, you know, Cam Ward, it's like you said, I mean, the quarterback tax, you got to factor that in.
Yeah.
And there's no price that you could pay for that. So
yeah.
Cam Ward being the number one overall prospect, I don't fault the Titans for that.
Yeah, and, you know, I asked Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker both specifically, okay, you had a bag in front of you. What made you put that bag away and take him? And one of the things that Borgonzi said immediately was the leadership. I think when you look at, again, they really loved the way he came in that building and got to know everybody. You know, not just, you know, Bo Hardigree. Like, he got to know
everybody
and had an impact on everybody. These are the types of people that when you're trying to reignite an organization, these are the type of people you want in your building, right? And
right.
You heard Xavier Restrepo say, like, if you don't take him, you're stupid. You know what I mean? And I think when you look at the leadership, it is there. I mean, I heard stories about how, you know, he was directing team meetings and practices a week or so after getting there in Miami.
Yeah. It's so infectious. I mean, you just listen to interviews with Cam Ward and his mindset and his drive to be the absolute best. I mean, he is all football, 100% all the time. And going back to Xavier Restrepo's comments, I think it was interesting because after literally a week after getting to Miami, barely knew any of the players. I'm sure he did a little bit of research on the guys before he got there. But, I mean, it was almost like militaristic. I mean, he had that program by the throat within a week of getting there. So that's just something that I did not see in Will Levis.
I'm not going to – I think here's the deal, right? I think when you look at this, just the way everything happened as far as, like, him coming into Miami and taking over and then having the impact, I mean, it's something he's done at multiple places. I mean, this dude was – the incoming quarterback, you know, he had just set school records.
Yeah.
As a sophomore, Cam came in and, you know, within weeks took over. It's, I think that's really interesting just to see how that works out. And then also, like, you look at some of the other things that, you know, Borgonzi said about Cam. He said there's a calm and confidence, you know, and Brinker, Callahan, Borgonzi, they all, when I asked about that confidence, you know, they all said, well, you know, there's confidence, but it's not cockiness or arrogance. It's a common comment. And I think when you look at those types of things, like, I feel like he's going to be well equipped to go in there and look those other 10 guys in the face and have them follow him when he says, let's go this way. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's important.
Yeah. And just, I mean, you go back, we've talked about that Cal game so many times. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just always level-headed. And I remember that first game against Florida. And just that type of environment. I mean, Florida's one of the loudest stadiums in the country. And, I mean, his heart rate was just like this the entire time.
Yep.
And that goes a long way because it's not been smooth sailing in the Titans organization for the last 4 or 5 years, however many. You need that stable presence. And he's gonna be getting on guys. Like, as a rookie, he's going to be getting on guys if they're not doing what they're supposed to. But he also expects that from himself, too.
Right, right. And just to sum it up with Callahan's words about Cam. He said, to me, it's the leadership ability and the way he's able to make those around him better. That, to me, is a huge part of the position, and that's what I think ultimately separates. There's a lot of talented players, a lot of guys that can throw the football, a lot of guys that can play the position. But the guys that transcend have a unique ability to connect to their teammates and then raise the level of everyone around them. I think that's what he has shown to do really at every stop he's been, and hopefully that continues here. I think that sums it up.
Mm-hmm. He's taken the road less traveled, starting at an FCS school in Incarnate Word, going to Washington State, then back to Miami. I mean, traveling all across the country just to prove that, you know, he can be that franchise quarterback.
Yeah, it's almost like you can't help but respect it. You can't help but respect it. And it's funny, you said earlier about you're sure he did his research on his future teammates. I would agree. I mean, the guy researched Warren Moon before reaching out to him. And obviously, growing up in the shadows of Houston, you know, the Astrodome or whatnot, he's not old enough to really truly be able to know Warren Moon and his impact as a player as some of us older guys, the 40 and up club. But still, he knew who he was. But then it's like, let me go back and see. And when you see the throws and the things, I'm sure, you know, he was like, yeah, this is it. So, well, what do you think of that situation? Like, do you think they're giving Cam Ward too much too early?
No, I mean, I think he's shown that every stop that he can handle it. I don't think it – I mean, because literally that's – you listen to him, and all he wants to do is football. So he'll take this, he'll take the reins, and – it's not going to be too much for him because he's shown at every stop, you know, he's been given a little bit more responsibility. This is a guy who ran the wing tee in high school, mm-hmm. didn't really throw a pass, you know, hence why he was a zero-star recruit. But every step along the way, he's proven that he can handle more and more responsibility. And now being the number one overall pick, the franchise quarterback, I think he'll absolutely be able to handle it.
Yeah, there's something that has to be said to getting it out the mud. Because when you get it out the mud and you put so much into it and you work so hard for it, somebody's going to have to fight like H-E-L-L to take it from you. And I think that's where this guy is. Now, I can't speak for him, so I won't attempt to do that, but that's my belief. But then also, I think when you look at this, right, as an athlete, when you're out there on the field, like you're not thinking, oh, I got this number one on. I better throw for 300 or else Warren Moon's going to be mad. It's I'm out here. I got to show and prove and do what I got to do. And you just do it. And I think the whole idea that it's an added pressure to him is not true.
And I love it because I forgot who it was, but somebody asked him, what does that number one mean to you? And he said, it doesn't mean much. But he appreciates Warren Moon giving him the blessing to wear the number. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I mean, it's the player that makes the number's legacy. And that's what he's focused on. He's not worried about the number. He said if Warren Moon said no, he would just got a different number and moved on. You know,
it's real simple. Yeah, and that backup number was 7. He was asked that, and he said 7 was a backup number. As far as giving him too much too soon, I don't necessarily buy into that. And let me say this, because, you know, people are acting like he made the Titans sign Xavier Restrepo and like it's some, hey, man, go out and sign my guy I played high school ball with. He's coming out of Toledo, and, yeah, go get him. They signed the leading all-time receptions, receiving yards, and fourth all-time in touchdowns at the University of Miami. Folks, calm down. He didn't, like, it's not some charity case or something like that.
Right. Man, I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand how he went undrafted. I expected him to be like a late day three type of pick. But still, we're talking about the guy who's played at Miami, his all-time leading receiver there. Guys like Michael Irvin, Santana Moss. I mean, the list goes on. Shannon Sharp, like Jeremy Shockey, the list goes on and on. And you're going to be mad about that? I just don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's – it's unbelievable. But the other thing that you have to look at, I mean, let's say, you know, let's say you went to another market. Let's say you left here, right, and you decided, you know, let's say you got a job with one of the major stations in L.A., right, and your job is like, hey, you're the chase. You're the program director, right? So you go in there, and the pressure is on you to turn things around and make it work. And let's just say they're like, hey, man, like we need to get a host. And let's say you told them me and I got hired there. You're going to be more comfortable, right?
Yeah,
because it's two people together that you've worked with and that you already. So I don't understand how someone could be upset about Restrepo signing an undrafted free agent deal and say, oh, well, you know, they're coddling to Cam Ward too much. I don't get that.
It's like when Chad Brinker was interviewing guys from the Packers for the new GM job. I mean, naturally, you just gravitate to who you know. And it's, I mean, this industry is all about networking, and you know that just as well as anybody. But it's not like Xavier Restrepo is some trash player they picked up off the street. I mean, the film speaks for itself, and the 4.840 – yeah, not ideal, but when you watch his film, the game speed's a little bit different.
Yeah.
So that's what I have to say.
You can't get away from what makes the big thing the big thing. And I think what makes the big thing that is the play on the football field. You heard, man, you know, I was over here smiling, just cheesing away.
Yeah.
When he talked to him. Yeah, you heard him. And it's so true. It is so true, man. Folks, yes, it's important. Don't get it twisted. It's important, you know, the measurables and the traits and things like that. But end of the day, can you play ball? So that being said, if you notice, like, when we talk to Borgonzi, when we talk to Sam Somerville, when we talk to Reggie McKenzie, when we talk to Dave Ziegler, if you remember – every time, all of those press conferences, I asked, okay, there's a thing to you guys banking on development upside and traits. How are you communicating with the coaching staff to realize what particular traits they want so they could develop it? What do you think of that whole concept?
of drafting guys like Femi Aladejo who have the traits but not necessarily a production.
Right.
You're just banking on the coaching staff to get it right. And but it's like, I know Chris Sanders is going to talk about this later, but you want guys who that when you develop those traits, they still fit into your specific system.
Yeah.
Well, like Denard Wilson. And Femi Aladejo said that he already knows, you know, Denard Wilson's scheme. And I think he's going to translate well, but he's a guy that doesn't necessarily have the production in college, kind of like a Shamar Stewart type, mm-hmm. but he has the traits. So you're putting all your faith in the coaching staff to be able to get that out of him, but he already does have a little bit of familiarity with the scheme.
Yeah. Look, man, when you're working in that type of situation, there's a couple of things that I think about. And that's why I ask so many times about getting to know the traits that these coaching staffs want to coach. You know, I worked in sales a bit before I got into media. And, you know, there were some times where I had to sell some things that I didn't really even think were worthy of selling, you know, and I struggled to do it. But guess what? When there was something that I believed in and something working for a company that I felt believed in me, did a lot of really good things.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I think you have to believe in the talent that you're coaching. I think that's very, very important. But in addition to that, you got to believe in the coaches that you're asking to develop. Guns N' Roses made a song. It's called Patience, mm-hmm. right? Nas and Damian Marley have a song together. So it's called Sabali, which is patience. You got to have patience if you're doing this.
Right.
Draft, develop. You got to have patience.
You got to get out of this microwave society, instant gratification. You also got to take big swings in the draft, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you hope every player is a hit, but it's more than likely not going to be the case where every single player you draft, and especially the Titans bringing in 9 guys, there's a good chance that not every one of them is going to be a hit.
Right.
But you put the coaching staff together for a reason, and what's the point of even having them if you're not going to trust them to develop the guys you draft?
So is Cam Ward day one starter?
Has to be. I don't know who else it would be.
Yeah,
you can't trot Will Levis out there again.
No, I. There are some who believe that. I just think you just bring him in. I'm not going to say give it to him, but I think you bring him in and he starts on top of the depth chart.
Yeah,
that's, you know,
and he's going to earn it. You just know,
right? We're not going to sit here and pretend he starts at the top of the depth chart, right? And then you could distribute the snaps evenly if you want. You could do that, but he starts at the top of the depth chart.
I mean, that was the way it was when I was playing. I mean, they'd say an open quarterback competition, but they have a pretty good idea of who's going to be the guy. And they say, yeah, we'll split the reps evenly, but as camp goes along, you know, guys start to pull away. That's just how it is.
Yeah, that's it right there. So, yeah, man, a lot to get into. I'm glad we got to go deep on this one. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
As the lights fade and the music dim, we had to let that go a little long, you know? And now, let's give it a little more time. And now, coming to you live from Broad Street and Patterson Avenue in South Philadelphia. Here at the Spectrum, home of the 76ers. Starting at shooting guard, out of Bradley, number 33, Hersey Hawkins.
And now, starring for the Houston Rockets, Ralph Sampson.
Hey, man, Those Hersey Hawkins introductions, boy, I'm going to get it right. They used to always kill me, boy. That's back going to the Sixers games. I used to love that, man. Shout out Aunt Priscilla. She used to always tell us to come down and take me to the games, man.
What?
Definitely used to love that. But Hersey Hawkins always looked like the dudes. You remember that old video game for Nintendo, Track and Field, when you take the battery and you make yourself run fast? Hersey Hawkins looked like those dudes or the ones from Ring King. I always thought that, man. That's too funny, man.
Oh, come on, man. You can't start this.
Yeah, right?
The old Track and Field.
But hey, man, yeah, we got more important things to talk about. So I want to just,
man. Sure.
All right. So we know this Titans draft, it's obviously you're seeing all the grades come out. They always kill me, the grades come out. These dudes ain't even set foot in the building yet. But hey, we do what we got to do. But I'm curious what your thoughts are on this draft overall. Cam Ward. Let's start here, actually, because Parker and I talked about it in the previous segment. Cam Ward or this haul of draft picks, like what direction would you have gone?
I would have stayed with Cam Ward. I mean, you look at the situation with the Tennessee Titans, they definitely need a quarterback, because if you look at the roster of quarterbacks that he have in that quarterback room, no disrespect, but they're not going to win a lot of ball games. But you need to bring in a guy with a fresh new look, a fresh new attitude, and a fresh new vision. And I think Cam Ward is that guy. I liked him before, but when I started to hear his interviews, you know, when he got drafted, I started to like him even more because he talked about team. He started reaching out to players. He started talking like a veteran guy that's been there because he wants to build a relationship and win games. So even though, you know, some people might not like the pick, I think it's a good pick for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, no, I think it is a good pick, and you're right. I mean, look, like it starts with quarterback, and if you got a chance to get one, you get one. And then also you look at just the law of mysteries and things like that. So let's say you take that trade haul, right, and you don't take the quarterback. Well, guess what you're going to be trying to do within the next couple years? Get that quarterback. And then you're back into the situation of, okay, I'm in a position to get the quarterback. Can I get it's just a mess. But I'm curious about this, too. How do you look at Cam Ward wearing the number one jersey? I mean, you're one of the last guys to have, you know, played in both uniforms. How do you look at it? Because I think your perspective is important.
I think it's good because you see the old generation, then the new generation, and it's all about – what's good for the team. I know this sounds kind of cliche in coach talk, but I think it's a good transferring from generation to generation. I know it was like, I would how dare them tell him to unretire that, this and that. But I love the way Warren Moon had it. He said, you know what, he's not gonna have the Oilers number one. He's starting a new journey with the number one as a Tennessee Titan. I know both teams are in the same organization. Though that sounds kind of weird, but it's starting something new. You got a new general manager. You started with all these things. Now start with a new number one quarterback. Why not give him the number one? So I think it's good. I think for publicity, I think it's great because now all eyes are on who? Number one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's great that they're doing that. We'll see what happens. But let's get into this draft class outside of Cam, because there are other guys. And I guess we'll attack it by groups. So the receivers, I'm curious, you know, your take on Chimere DK, on Gunnar Helm as a pass catcher, on Eric Iomanner, and
You know, I know this is kind of wild. I know everybody's been like, what are you talking about, Chris? But I think the best pickup was Xavier Restrepo,
Restrepo, yeah. I left his name out on purpose because I agree with you, though.
You know why? Because I'm about to jump out of my chair because did you hear what Cam Ward said about, I'm just calling him Xavier. He said this. He said, number one, he moves the chain. Number two, he's Mr. Reliable. Number three, he's the best route runner in the draft. This is the quarterback you just drafted. So now you got a quarterback that comes in that, you know, he's going to have his bump and bruises. But if you have a guy that's Mr. Reliable, that moves the chains and they run great routes, who's going to get better? Your quarterback's going to get better because your receiver is in the right spot. So even though you have these other guys are good. They're good players. But I think as an overall route running, overall getting off the press, overall things like that, I think he's better. And then you look at, you know, the other receiver, I call him DK from Florida. He's still kind of raw to me, and I'm going to tell you why. I went back and watched some more of his film. a lot of the routes that he ran were a lot of crossing routes. I want to see him get off the press. I want to see when he gets pressure at the line of scrimmage. I want to see when he gets jammed. Does he have a game plan on that situation? Do you have Gunner? I think Gunner may not be as fast as
he's tough.
He's tough. Thank you. He's tough. And here it is. He's a technician.
Yeah.
He's a technician. So when you have guys like that, that are pretty good, but at all these guys, this is my opinion. This is just me now. I like Xavier Restrepo. I can't, whatever his name is.
Restrepo.
Restrepo. I like him.
Yeah.
He's tough. He's big. Listen, when he comes in, he's got a chip on his shoulder. So you don't think he's going to run every route, you know, with purpose and having an attitude because he didn't get drafted? So that's going to make him even better because there's a slew of wide receivers on the Titans. But if you go and you be a security blanket for Cam Ward, don't be surprised if you make this roster.
To your point about the security blanket, right, they're down, I think it was 6 points. And, they're down six.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, they were down by one score. I'll put it that way. Right? Mm-hmm. And the defense forces a punt. The Miami Hurricanes take over on the 8-yard line, their own 8-yard line. Right? First play, you know what happens? 77-yard completion on a deep cross. Restrepo caught it and ran 30-plus yards.
Thank you.
4-8, though.
Yeah. But here's what drives me crazy, and I'm going to go back to some history about some guys that didn't get drafted but won Super Bowls. Let's start with Julian Edelman, 7th round, ran a 4.52. Let's go to another guy, Danny Amendola, not drafted, 4.58. Let's go up, let's talk about another dude, Wes Welker, 4.65, not drafted. But what made them special? What made them great? They had a field to get open, and they were Mr. Reliable.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a guy that's Mr. Reliable, you can have a guy that can run fast and jump high, but if he can't be in the right spot, it makes no difference.
Yeah. I tell you one thing.
Guys are always in the right spot. Yeah, sorry.
I tell you one thing. I love the student of the game that Xavier Restrepo is because, and I said it last week, you know, when we talked to him a couple weeks ago, he mentioned Devon Best as a guy that he loved to watch. And Best was a 4.64 guy. He wasn't fast straight line, but he was quick. He had great feel. And he put up some legit, some legit seasons.
Right,
so
right.
I like that. But I want to talk about Ayo Manor, too. I'm curious what your thoughts are about the Stanford receiver. I know you saw the 294 he put up on the Colorado.
He's good. I mean, I love what he does. He catches the ball at the highest point. He's got great body control. But – this is just me. I want to see him get tested a little bit more at the line of scrimmage. I want to see what he does at the line of scrimmage. I mean, anybody can do something, you know, when they're not really tested at the line of scrimmage. What's his game plan? Can he get the guy off the spot? What does he do at the top of the route when he feels a little tight coverage? Those are the things that I want to see because, he beat Hunter, had 12 catches for 200-something yards, but I think Hunter was hurt. But if you look at that whole game, Hunter was hurt a little bit, but he couldn't really put his hands on it, so he let him have a free release. If you have a free release all day, you can do some things. I want to see what he does when he gets jammed at the line of scrimmage and he feels pressure. Then I want to see if his game can elevate.
Yeah, no, great point. Another guy to throw in there, just real quick, he popped into my mind. We're talking about slow 40 guys. Jarvis Landry, he was a 4.77. So, and I would like to say that he did really well, and he did come back later at the pro day running 4.5. But nevertheless, defensively, right? And this is the thing that's interesting to me. There was a lot of drafting on projection, right? Yep. So you look at Femi Oladejo. You just say Femi, make it easy. have you watched him? Yep. Are you familiar at a point where you formed an opinion?
I want to see – I just want to see more production. Does that – He had 4.5 sacks. He had 14 tackles for loss. But this is just my opinion. You correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes he shows up absent sometimes.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. And he's going to get better because in the league, they're not going to let you – they want you to have a motor every time. I think he's a pretty good leader. He's very vocal. But I just think that I want to see more production. You know, 4.5 sacks, 14, for tackles for loss, but I want to see him with more production with that size and physicalness. I think he can do better than what he does.
Yeah, I think the key there is going to be pulling that potential out, mm-hmm. and finding a way to develop some more pass rush moves and things like that. So he definitely has a lot to be excited about. Kevin Winston Jr. Are you familiar?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love him. He's feisty, man.
You go back and watch that tape when he wore 21. Yes, sir.
He's feisty. You know who he reminds me of? What was the DB for the Tennessee Titans that got in a fight with Andre Johnson?
Oh, yeah, Courtland Finnegan.
Courtland Finnegan. He reminds me of him a little bit. Just the feistiness and want to fight everybody. But the only thing that kind of concerns me is he had one interception. You know, and I know it's not just about interceptions, about being in the right place at the right time, but I just want to see him get maybe more interceptions. He had one, and I think he had maybe 21 or 11 or 21 tackles. No, I'm sorry, 61 tackles in 2023. But I just want to see more production and getting more interceptions. So I like the pick, feisty, nasty, and he fits the identity of Denard Wilson, the guys that want to fight at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when you look at Marcus Harris, the corner out of Cal, another one of those upside guys. You know, they're banking on this coaching staff being able to, well, as Chad Brinker says, they draft, the coaching staff develops, and the front office retains. So right now, everything is in the second phase of developing. Right. I just – what are your thoughts there on that? Like putting – drafting on traits and upside and putting that on your coaches?
Yeah, I mean, you do want to draft traits, but they still have to fit the identity of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's kind of like this. If I'm on offense and I'm a running offense and I go get a speed guy, all he can do is just run straight line but can't run routes, I mean, you're just defeating the purpose. It's just that you want to get guys that fit the identity of what you're doing. So it's just all up in the air, so we just kind of actually see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm really curious how everything
plans out. It's going to be interesting.
You know, I didn't get to – we'll end it on this. We talked about the draft class this whole time, but let's end it on a free agent. And Tyler Lockett, your thoughts on bringing him aboard, how you think he could affect the rest of the group?
Veteran guy. Always in the right place. Great route runner. Tough little guy. Guys that you want that can play in the slot. And I'm not just saying he's a slopper. He can play on the perimeter because he has the speed to do it. He might not be as fast as he was before, but he understands how to move the chains. He understands how to run the choice routes. He understands how to run the seam. So I think that's going to be another security blanket, you know, for Cam Moore. So I love the pick. I love what he does. I love the game that he brings. I love the route running. I love the tenacity. I love the big play potential. So I'm excited about him being on this roster, because if you look at this roster, only a couple of guys scare you on this roster is Calvin Ridley, Oliver. I'm gonna throw this in here. Oliver Bryce scares you a little bit. Then now you add Tyler Lockett, Van Jefferson. So it's becoming a pretty good receiver unit in that office.
Yeah, listen, we'll see. Bryce Oliver has made a play. He made literally a play every day in camp. Let's see how he continues to build on it. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up on that note, man. And I tell you, it was a crazy, crazy draft process. But we worked through it, and, man, another one in the books.
Yeah, before we go, man, I know we ain't got time, but I want to ask you this, man. What do you think about this stuff with I know you're tired of talking about Shador.
Yeah, I mean, there's not enough time to explain this, but I'll just say this. The play on tape does not match a fifth-round pick. I'll just leave it at that. And
there are
things beyond what happened on the field that are taken into consideration, and it's unfortunate. But, hey, you know what? What you got to do now is – prove yourself right. Forget about proving them wrong. Prove yourself right.
That's what I wanted to hear.
It's very clear. People know that, you know, I do appreciate Shador's game. I'm an advocate of his. And, you know, for those who are disrespectful about it on the timeline, it's okay to like a prospect. But that doesn't mean you take it to the degree that you guys are. But, hey, continue to allow me to live rent-free. I appreciate it, and we'll take it from there.
And, hey, gavel drop.
This is Roger McQuarrie, and I'm talking with TD.
I want to find the things. I want designer things. I want a lot of things.
All right, back from the break. Talking with TD. You hear Roger McQuarrie bringing us back. You hear Cap G saying he just wants to find the things. Our next guest has helped a lot of guys get in position to get the finer things. And that's my guy, man. He's a local Jeremy Holt of Athlete Performance. Jay Holt, what's good with you, man?
What's good, TD? How you doing, man? Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, for sure. No, I appreciate you coming on the show. And I tell you what, when we were talking to Gunnar Helm, the Texas tight end, and you know, he's just kind of running through, hey, what do you know about Nashville? And he said, well, I just happen to be training in Nashville, Jeremy Holt. And I said, well, Lord have mercy. This dude, if there's one guy who always gets the tight ends, man, it's you. I'll say that.
It's your boy. Yeah, man. Man, we were so super lucky and blessed to have a Gunnar fall in our hands down here, man. He's a one-of-a-kind, man. I think that was a great pickup for the hometown team, and I'm excited to see what he does, man. Watching him train and do everything leading up to the process and having a dream come true was one of the coolest moments I've had, you know, since I've been doing this pre-draft training. So, man, I'm just super ecstatic and excited to see where he ends up and how he shakes out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Who are some of the other guys, tight ends or just draft overall guys that you were working with?
Yeah, so every year, you know, we work with some agencies and we try to get as many guys as we can down here, but at the same time, we don't want it to be too big. So this year we have five tight ends all come down with us. We had Jalen Conyers from Texas Tech. We had Caden Prescorn from Ole Miss. We had Gunnar Helm, obviously, from Texas. We had Mitchell Evans from Notre Dame. And the last but not least, we had Tyler Neville from Virginia. And man, we had a great group of guys. We meshed well, pushed each other on the daily. And it was really cool to see, you know, each and every guy, find a landing spot this weekend, somewhere where they can continue to play the game they love and make that dream come true and play at the next level.
No doubt. We're talking to Jeremy Holt of Athlete Performance here in Nashville. He trains plenty of NFL athletes and prospects, one of which was Gunnar Helm, the Texas tight end who the Titans selected in the fourth round. For those fans who aren't familiar with Gunnar, you spent a lot of time with him. How would you describe his game and also his personality?
Man, so literally last summer, Gunnar, you know, he had some time off in May, and he came down here, and he trained with us. And I remember the second day he was training, I looked at my boy and I said, yeah, he's a pro. And it's just the way he approaches the game, his mentality, his work ethic, you could tell he had to sit and wait his turn. And he wasn't wasting that time while he was waiting his turn. He was sitting back and taking note on every little detail and every little thing that he needed to be doing in order to put himself in the position that he put himself in, ultimately, to play at the next level. And, man, just watching him mature and ball out this season at Texas, I can't wait to see how he even takes that next step and continues to evolve and continues to grow and elevate his game at the next level to, you know, help the Titans win some football games next year.
No doubt about it. And you train, you know, other NFL stars. Well, you know what? Before we get into that, we're talking draft. What would you say was the craziest thing that happened last weekend? I'll give you two things because we know that Shador is almost automatic.
Yeah, man, the whole draft was crazy. Like, I mean, I think it's wild that you see guys who may or may not have certain attributes or skill sets, and it hurts them when ultimately I feel like the number one thing that we should be looking at is film. Mm-hmm. And I understand, you know, the measurables. I understand the testing. I understand those things that you have to take into account. But, man, ultimately I feel like it all goes back to what did you do when you were on the football field, and then what type of character do you have if I bring you into my facility and into my building? And I feel like this year was one of the wildest years because all of that came into play, and, you know, so many things happened that were unconventional, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, got away from the main thing. That would be like me saying, hey, you know what? I'm gonna go with Athlete Performance, because I like their colors, their logo. No, you ain't. You going because you trust that they could get you or whoever you're sitting there right. I mean, I don't understand that, the whole thing with that, but it irks me. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, man. It just seems like there were so many moving parts this year that did not need to be there. But it is what it is, man. I'm happy that guys are getting to, you know, pursue a lifelong dream, and I'm excited to see how everything shakes out. And who knows, man? I could be wrong about some things. And these guys, you know, these GMs and owners could prove me wrong. So, you know, I'm not in their seats for a reason.
It's an inexact science. I say that. looking at what you also do, not only with draft prospects, but guys that are in the league, whether it's carryover from when you worked with them or they saw what you're able to do and they came to you, who are some of the guys that you're working with locally? And actually, I mean, tell us a little bit about Athlete's Performance. I want you to talk about your group there.
Yeah, man. So we've been at it for about 8 years now. Athlete Performance started in 2017. We use Lipscomb Academy as our home base. And, man, we've just been fortunate enough to grow our name and grow our brand into a nationally recognized company that trains, you know, adults, you know, fitness enthusiasts. We do sports performance for the youth, high school athletes. And then ultimately, man, we've been blessed enough to really work with guys at the collegiate level and at the professional level with the likes of George Kittle, TJ Hawkinson, Kevin Byard, and many other names that have played. Some local guys like Roger McCrary come in on a regular basis, and we get to work. And, man, we've just been really fortunate to stick our flag in the ground as one of the premier places to come and find ways to improve your performance on all levels.
What has really been the key to – because I remember Will Levis, he had his passing camp, and I remember just, like, the excitement he had in his eyes when he saw you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I want to ask this, what has been the key for you to be able to just dial in and connect with the players the way that you do?
Man, the thing is, like, I just know how and I love how I can just kind of meet them where they're at. I think every player has an individual need and every player has an individual goal. And those are things that I seek after to help them achieve. And it doesn't matter what it is. My thing is, I want to see everybody succeed. That's like one of the things that has always been instilled in me. I've never been a crab in a barrel mentality guy. I just think the overall success of one person means that we all have the opportunity to do better. I look at guys like Kittle, like he just signed a new deal.
Yeah.
I was ecstatic. And so was he. And so was everybody around him when Trey signed that deal, because the kid from Arizona, Trey McBride, like he set the standard. And so now it's like, congrats. Like, that's awesome. Now let's keep raising that standard. Now you just push me to do better. So now next year I'm going to go out and I'm going to try to get 19.2. And that's the way we kind of push and motivate each other, is to say, hey, man, like, we don't ever want to be mad when somebody gets something. That just means, you know, whoever's blessing, if God blesses somebody right next to you, that means he's in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So that's what type of time I've always been on. I think guys can gravitate towards that because they see that it's genuine, and I really do want them to succeed in whatever scenario that may be. And I don't try to gatekeep anything. And it's all genuine.
You know, and we're talking to Jeremy Holt, Athlete Performance, local trainer, NFL prospects, NFL guys. Jay Holt, I agree with what you just said as far as, like, connecting with the players and dialing into them. And you've done that to the extent where they've entrusted you to help create and also run Tight End University. Can you kind of open that whole what happens there? Can you open that up to some of the fans?
Yeah, man, Tight End University is one of the coolest things that I've been blessed enough to be a part of. Man, it's a week event. It's 3 days, and what it is, man, collectively, we bring all the tight ends from across the NFL together. We spend time together. We create relationships. We create bonds. But ultimately, we get on the board. We talk shop. We talk football. We get on the field. We train. And we just push each and every individual to take one or two things from that week to implement to their game so that they can be better, so they can add one or two more years onto their career, whatever it is, man. And it's been something that has helped so many guys on so many different levels, because, you know, each and every tight end has a different skill set that they bring to the table. And that's one of the things that I think people don't realize. And you see like, oh, well, we got four tight ends. Well, we got four tight ends yet in this room, but all four tight ends have different skill sets and different traits. And collectively, what this room does is allow us to have a complete room where we are not lacking in any skill sets. And so what we do at Tight End U is kind of help guys identify, grow in those areas that they are really talented at, but then also improve in the areas that they may or may not have the most work or technique in.
All right, J-Hall, I got to do it. I'm going to put you in a tough spot, but oh well.
Here you go. You've
handled it before. So let's do this, all right? And I'm going to get you out of here on this note. The top five tight ends in the league right now. Go.
Ooh. Okay. Man, no order right here. My boy TJ, my boy George, my boy Trav. Man, Brock is scary, man. He's scary. That five spot, man, it's up for grabs, man. Trey had a great year last year. You got to show love to him. Mark Andrews is always going to be solid. Man, that's tough. And that five spot is really up for grabs, man. I think there's a lot of guys who have proven worthy of top five. So I'm excited to see how this year shakes out.
So TJ Hockenson, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, up for grabs, and Brock Bowers.
Yeah, and that last spot's up for grabs, man. There's probably like four guys that I think you can put in. But I just think those four have stamped it. And there's others. Like, I mean, my boy Ev is solid.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many guys like Evan who don't get that recognition, who are really putting on and doing it. That's a tough one.
Well, hey man, I appreciate you. I know you got a lot to do today, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, man. As always, all love, brother.
All love, bro. I appreciate you, man.
All right, for sure. So that was Jeremy Holt. I always call him Jay Holt, man. That's my guy. Met him a long time ago. Actually, you know, Parker, he was training Corey Davis. When I first met him, which is that's crazy, man. That's
a little bit of a throwback.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, man, appreciate Jay Holt coming on. Definitely always enjoy talking shop with Chris Sanders, old Fish Out Fool, Run TMC, man. We do the thing, and hey, man, we had a fire opening segment. Good stuff, bringing it today.
I always love talking to X's and O's. I can't do this with my wife at home.
Yeah, I feel that, man. Well, hey, man, I appreciate everybody for their contributions. Definitely appreciate each of you for tuning in. We got to make sure we keep this thing going, man. Next week we are going to keep it rolling. We'll see who we have guest-wise, but definitely check us out, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.